Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Pei He.
Okay, so now let's talk about more about this idea of Ksherot being allowed to marry Chalalim. So we had a Maisa, where Rav Papa and Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua were Iklu, this is supposed to read according to Bach, Shachnetziv, which is one of our favorite places. Remember Shachnetziv, we were Derish, means Shachin, Netziv, Shrina lives there. It was a remiss to the Beis HaMikdash. We had this case of Man Havi Liyuma, who wants to be my wife for a day, when the Rabbanu were Magia, and we said that has to do with Yom Kippurim. Remember, that's all very sweet. Anyway, so they came to Shachnetziv, which is the place where the Rav, the Abbezin, was Rav Idi Baravin. And the people that were there, they're testing out Rav Papa and Rav Unabere, the Rav Yeshua, and they asked him, so tell us, you know, is there an Isser of Kishero to marry Pesulim or not? So Rav Papa said, well, I mean, we know the answer to that. We have the answer from the famous Mishnah of Asara Yuchsin in Kiddushin. It says over there, we have Asara Yuchasim Alumi Bavel. So Ezra took along all of the Pesulim from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, where we have a Bez that was able to keep track of them. And the 10 levels are Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalalim, Gerim, and Avadim Shukrarim, Mamzerim, Nitinim, Shtuki. A Shtuki is someone who knows who his mother is, but every time he says daddy, she says shh. And an Asufi is the baby's left on a doorstep, and we don't know who mommy is either. So there's Suffolk Mamzerim. Now, the Mishnah continues on. It says Kohanim and Leviim and Yisraelim are allowed to intermarry with one another. Mutarim avozebezet. Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalalim, Gerim, Charurim, or Mutarim, Lavo, Bezeh. Gerim, Avadim, Shukrarim, Mamzerim, Netinim, Shtuki, Vasufi, of Safik, Mamzerim, since it's only Isser Kahal, are Mutarim, Lavo, Zebezeh. And note that it very conspicuously leaves out the question of whether wouldn't it be an Isser for Kohanot to a Chalal? Because it's Mashmah that, like, the entire family of the Kohanot are mutarim lavotzeh b'zeh. Why doesn't it say, now wait a minute, Kohanot can't marry a halal? Omele Ravuna Bereder of Yehoshua to Rav Papa, that's not a raya, because kol heicha d'toni d'hani nisvi mahani v'hani nisvi mahani, if it goes in both directions, then it will list it. Then katani in the Mishnah, because it's saying lavotzeh b'zeh, one comes into the other. But over here, the Kohanot l'chalal, it's not going to say, because the Kohanot, maybe Asurot B'Chalalim, or the idea over here would be that you can't go in both directions. So the fact that it leaves it out doesn't prove anything. Omele Ravuna Bereder of Yehoshua. Okay, so that would mean that this case is not included. So even if a Kohanet is Muteret, it wouldn't write it over here, because a Kohen is certainly not Mutter Nechalala, even if the Kohanet is Mutter Nechalal. So forget that. So they didn't have a raya. So then when they came in to visit Rav Idi Baravin himself, they asked him, well, you know, we got a little bit stumped over here by your doorkeepers, you know, what actually is the halacha? So Rav Idi Baravin said to them, Dardake, this is what I always remember when, you know, kids, you know, you think you're big stuff, you're going around, you don't know what you're talking about. Dardake, listen, little boys, let me tell you something. The Ochi Amar Vino Marav, Beferish, Lo Huzaru, and because of that, that's the halacha, and you should know that, and that's how to be paskin at all times. Let's start looking around for rayas from the Mishnah. Now, the next case we had in the Mishnah was Shniot midivrei sofrim. It says over there, there's no ksuva, there's no belos, there's, oh my gosh, there, everything is taken away from them. He doesn't have to pay for the things that he ate. So, Barminei b'nei Biri, the people that lived in Biri asked Rav Sheshes, a woman who is a shnia to a baal, and she's not a shnia liyavam, does she get a ksuva from the Yavam? Okay, now remember, the background on this is, the Gemara is going to fill us in because otherwise nothing makes sense. So the background to this is that normally a ksuva of the Yavam is the same, except he doesn't write it. It's chal on the nichse habal. Problem over here is that the Baal didn't have a ksuva because it was an Isser Shnia. But now the Yavam, so what are we going to do? The Yavam, in all cases where the Baal doesn't have a ksuva, in the end we know, and the Gemara is going to speak it out to us finally, that in that case, there's a separate question. And that is that even though it's true The Torah insisted that you marry her, and therefore we're certainly not going to ask you to also pay for the bullet, you know, like the KGB over here. So therefore, you don't have to write her a ksuva. But there's another problem. The problem is that if you want to keep her, you're not allowed to keep a woman with a relationship with her is casual. How is it casual? Whenever you feel like it, you'll give her a get. It doesn't cost you anything, right? So if there were ksuva on the Dichsei HaBaal, it does cost you, because that money ends up being yours, because you took over all of the money of your brother. And this, you're going to have to pay it out for her. But in this case, the brother didn't have a ktuva. And therefore, if there was no property, we saw before a case where she could collect from, or if there was no ktuva, like this case, so then l'chor, in order to keep the Yavama, for sure, you would have to write a ketuvah, because it's us to sleep with a woman casually. So now the question is, what do we say? Kima di omar mar ketuvata nichsei ba'al harishon. The ketuvah always is chal on the first husband's property. So therefore, letla, she should not need a ketuvah from the Yavam. Or do we say, O Dilma, ilu letla mirishon takina l'rabbana misheni, normally we give her a ketuvah, so therefore itla. Omarlu Rav Sheshes. Well, it says ketuva on the sebal arishon. V'im haitash niyala bal afilu miyavam eimla. There is no bal arishon. You seem to be taking something for granted. The Braisa is saying im haitash niyala bal afilu miyavam eimla. And what? And there are cases where she would, if she hadn't been a shniyala bal, so then she would have had from the yavam. Bichlal the ika the islam yavam. Of course, says the Gemara. Chesuri mechasa, don't you know? Obviously, that part is missing over here. Vachiktani. In the event, ktuvata al nichsei ba'al harishon, but in the event that less lami rishon, meaning that there's no property from the rishon, then takino lami sheni. But if it was the iser of the shnia, so then afilu miyavam ein la. I mean, obviously, if he's going to keep her, that's a different issue, but he does not write her a ketuvah where the husband didn't have a ketuvah to be mekayim the yibum. Okay, now we say, she doesn't, very weird, if the Isser was an Isser Drabbonan, she loses everything. But if the Isser was an Isser Diraisa, like I'm on a Kohen Gadol, then she has a Ksuva. I don't understand that. So, Bar Mine, Rabbi Lazimri, Rabbi Yochanan, I'm on a Kohen Gadol, Grusha v'chalutza l'Kohen Hedyot. Where it says there, that yesh la'en mizonot, it says the inyanim of the ksuva for the shnia. But what about a case where it's an issa d'oraisa? Yesh la'en mizonot or ein la'en mizonot? What are we talking about? That she has that husband and she's living with that husband? How can she have mizonot? We're going to force them to get divorced. Now we're going to say you have to provide for her. They need to get divorced. Be'amod v'otzeikot. No. What I was asking about, let's say that the husband leaves her. He goes l'medinat hayam. So normally there's a halacha that a woman who borrows money in order to survive, that when the husband comes back, he has to pay back that money because that was money that he would have had to give her in order to be mekayim his mizonos. So I want to know what the halacha is over here. When he comes back from his business trip a year later, does he pay her or not? And here's my question. My question is like this. Do we say that the chiyuv of a husband to pay back this thing is part of the tnae haktuvah? Well, the Mishnah says she has a ktuvah. Now, this is not the same thing as forcing him to support her while they're in an illicit relationship. He didn't give her a get. He went away overseas and he left her hanging without any money. So what is she supposed to do? So normally in such a case, the chiyuv of mizonot obviously obtains ex post facto. But in this case, we wouldn't have been mechayev him mizonot because it was ba'amod votzei. That's my whole question. So this din of repaying, if it's a part of the normal, remember the tanai ketuvah are what is automatically included in a ketuvah. This is what it means to have a ketuvah. So if this is part of her ketuvah, so she has a ketuvah, right? So meaning itla ketuvah, we said she has itla mizonot. But maybe we should say that mizonot is different. Maybe the idea over here is that idavka ketuvah, which is made in cases where she is meant to be divorced, right? So she only gets when she is divorced. Fine, so that she gets. But mizonos, anything that has to do with mizonos is included in Why would we make life easy for her to get mizonos if we want them to be divorced anyway? So therefore, mizonos, we should say, absolutely not. She's not going to look to get a divorce, so maybe we shouldn't provide for her. Or my lesser, Rabbi Yochanan said she does not get the mizonot that she borrowed for. Well, that's interesting, because there's a braita that says that she does. Aha, I knew you were going to say that. Well, Tanya Yeshla. Yeah, but Kitanya Gili Acher Miza. The braita that talks about getting the mizonot that she borrowed is talking about in the event that the husband died before he gave her the divorce. So then, obviously, she's like anybody else, because even though she wouldn't have gotten mizonos in her life if they were there, because that way we were going to force him to divorce her. But when he ran away, we couldn't force him to divorce her. And when he died, it was no longer nogea. The only problem that we had was that we're afraid if she's allowed to do this, that she's going to try to stick with him instead of accepting a divorce. That's totally different. Now, Isti Amar, some say that the discussion went like this, that Rabbi Yochanan said, Tanya she yishla. Rabbi Yochanan said she does have mizonos. And on that, the Gemara asks, how could that be? It doesn't make any sense. It says yeshla. And there we answered that yeshla means in this kind of example where she borrowed and was ba'amod v'otzei. Tana Rabbanan, amanah kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutzah kohen etyot, yeshla ketuvah, peirot, mizonot, ubelaot, v'ipsula. So this is fascinating. And Amon al Kohen Gadol, Isser Diraisa, Grusha Mechalutz al Kohen Edo, does have Iksuva, does have Beirot, does have Mizonot, gets the Bilaot of Renichse Meluk that were left over, and he has to pay if it was used up. And she, of course, is Psula to the Kuna, because she becomes a Chalala. Her child is Psula to Kuna, because Lo Yechalel Zaro. And Kofino Tolotzi, we force him to be Megarisher. Masha Einkein, the case of the Mishnah of Shniot, Midivre Sofrim, Ein la ketuva, ein la perot, not mizonot, not lubalot, and the woman is kshera, and the child is kosher. There's no iser of the, similar to chalalut on Yisrael, and here too, kofinot ol garsha. So why? Why is this? Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, mipni ma'amru, that an almana l'kohen gadol yesh la ketuva, even though she's asura. Because mipnei shehu pasul, in this case, the Kohen Gadol is now posel for Aveda. He's not allowed to do Aveda while he's married to an Isser. And she herself is Psula because she becomes a Bechalala. And the klal is that where both of them are posel, komakom shuhu posel, v'hi psula, then konsul to ketuva. We give him a knas to pay a ketuva, and we're certainly not worried that they're going to end up remaining married. Because there's a ketuvah. No, because since he's not allowed to do the Aveda, and since she's become Psula, I guarantee you this marriage is not going to last. I mean, they're going to end up with so many fights, because of you, you're no good, Nick, I can't even do the Aveda, and so on and so forth. And therefore, why take away the ketuvah on Anarabba? Make him pay. He took an Dover Otzer. On the other end, Mipnima Amru, that Shniot Midivrei Sofrim Ein Lehem Ketuvah. That's because he is kosher in that case. She is kshera. There's no problem, really. No lasting problem. This marriage will go on forever because there's nothing to lose. So because of that, we give a knas to her that there should be no ketuvah, and that way she should want out. Rebbe says the reason is different. The reason is that Alman Elokoin got all the grush of a chalutz Elokoin had yet since their diaraisa, divrei Torah ein tzrichin chizuk. And therefore, since it's so chomor, we don't have to do things to see to it that they're going to get divorced. That is something that people know is terrible. People are very makel in their abundance. It's only Divrei Sofrim. So because people generally are mezalzel in the Divrei Sofrim, it requires chizuk. And therefore, we are worried that this will look like a normal marriage. Because of that, we told her, listen, you don't get a ksuva in this case. Furthermore, davar acher, zehu margila. In this case, it should say zehu margila. In the case of an amon l'kohen gadol grushav l'chalutz l'kohen hedyot, it is very reasonable that he was turned on by her and he persuaded her to get married. But in the other case of the Shneos B'divrei Sofrim, she is probably after him. Because normally women want to get married more than men. And since over here, there's no shul on her, she has no reason to avoid seducing him into getting married. Masha Einkin, in this case of the Alman of the Kohen Gadol, she doesn't want to get involved because of the problem that is going to show up in their marriage, and it's going to really fall apart because it's going to be a disaster for him. Because of that, we assume that it's her fault. Okay, so it's his fault because she wouldn't have done it. Davar acher man katanila. Who is the man di omer? Was this Rebbe Reb Shimon ben Elazar? Ike di ami Reb Shimon ben Elazar katanila. And the davar acher is an explanation. Ma tam ka omer. Now, Reb Shimon ben Elazar is coming to explain what he originally said. Ma tam amru. What was the reason for saying that in a case where hupasul vi psula, that then consul taktuva, Mipneshuhu Margila, he's the one that went ahead and persuaded her. Umatam Ukashev Ikshira Kansu Taktuva, because over there it's reasonable to say that he Margilato. But others say Ikiriami that actually this is part of what Rebbe had said in the Brisa. This is Davar Acher, because he was worried about Chalutza. Why did he have to give this Davar Acher? Because he felt that he hasn't explained the Chalutza, and he wants to explain the difference between an Issa D'Oraisa and a Rabbanan. Because the chalutza is also a derabbanan, and we included the chalutza with the grush of a chalutza. So, and over there, that would mean that the chalutza eat laktuva. If the whole point is that divrei derabbanan, divrei Torah ain't tzrichon chizik, but divrei chacham tzrichon chizik, then why were we not machazik dvarenu when it came to the chalutza? Therefore, Rabbi had to add another svara. So Hadar Omar, because Kivan de Pasula, even though the Psul is only Midrabanan, so there I come on to this case, Humargila, and in that case, in the Shnios Medivre Sofrim, he Margila To. We ended up with a curious situation, that in Almona Lekohen Gadol, which is an Isser D'Oraisa, so over there we said, no problem, we give her her Fuk Tuva, we give her Blaot, everything is fine. But when it comes to an Isser D'Rabbanan, which were the Shnios D'Rabbanan, there we don't give her a ktuva and we give her a knas that she doesn't get any kind of ktuva. That didn't seem to make much sense. So we had two explanations for this. So Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, one line up from the bottom. Mipnei ma'am ru'am anala kohen gadol yesh la ktuva. So why do we say that she should get a ktuva? Well, it's mipnei shuhu pasul v'hi psula. Because of the fact that the marriage will destroy her kashas for the kahuna and for truma, and it passels him as long as he's married, doesn't passel him to make him a cholol, of course, but as long as he is married to her, the halacha is that he doesn't get a right to work in the Beis HaMikdash. We keep him out of there. We don't allow in a kohen who's doing an isser with his marriage to work, and therefore the kohen gadol isn't going to be able to do his aveda. So, because of that, the klal is, we have a way of understanding this now, but we may change it in a moment. And that is the klal, v'chol makom shehu pasul, v'hi psula. In a case like that, where there ends up being a psul, kansu oto ktuva, then he is the one that has to pay the ktuva. And the reason for that is, because the only reason that we would give her a knas, mipnei ma'am rushniot midivrei sofrim, we give her a knas, en lahen ketuva, mipnei shuhu kasher v'hikshera. Since she has nothing to lose in this marriage at all, there's not going to be any problems. So we're doing a little avera over here on the side, but it doesn't create any problems for anybody. So, koma kom shu kasher v'ikshera kansu otak tuva. Then she's the one that suffers the loss of the ktuva. Now, we thought, and we might be right, as we're going to see, but we thought that the reason for this is because we don't want the marriage to survive. So, by telling her, just you should know that if you ever get into a fight and you get divorced, or if he dies, you are up the creek without a paddle because you don't have any ktuva. And you're going to lose everything. You understand? Everything that he took from you, you aren't getting back. So that is going to persuade her, hopefully, to want out. So therefore, we make that takana in order to destroy the marriage. Masha Einkein, in the other case, again, this is what we think the reason is. In the other case, where there is a knas, where there is a psul, such as the case of the Kohen Gadol to the Almana,
over there, we don't need to give any kind of knas to her because this marriage is going to end up falling apart. Why? Because there's so much resentment. Well, the whole reason I can't go into the Beis HaMikdash is because of you, you know, Gudnik. And you don't even care, and so on and so forth. You know, it's like in a marriage where the guy's bringing back a big salary but never comes home, and she's complaining, the whole reason I don't come home is because of my big salary for you and your fancy car, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so those are things that destroy the marriage. So if that's the case, what do we need to destroy the marriage? Anyway, it's rude. So therefore, since he's the guy who did the Isser, let him pay the ksuva. Let him pay through the nose. Why should we deprive her of the ksuva, right? So that is the way we understand Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi says, the difference is that halalu divrei Torah v'divrei Torah tzrichim chizuk. V'halalu divrei sofrim v'divrei sofrim tzrichim chizuk. Nah, look, doesn't get anything into psychology. It has to do with the way people view the entire issue of Yisurei Derabbanan. People don't take the Rabbanan seriously, okay? So we're going to make it very serious. You want to be over in the Rabbanan, pow, pow, pow. We're going to take away your rights to ketubah and so on and so forth. But the Arisa people take seriously. We don't have to prove ourselves when it comes to the Arisa. So maybe we don't have to be mechazik. That's the difference. We don't get into anything else. Now, we come up with this third reason now, and we don't know where this third reason came from, who said it, why it's necessary. So, Davar Acher, I don't know who said the Davar Acher, but the Davar Acher is that Zeh, it should say Zeh, hu margila. Vezo, he margilato. So, in other words, in the case of the Almana L'Kohen Gadol, or the Grusha V'Chalutz L'Kohen Hedyot, she must be working on him to get married. And in the case of the Shneil Arayas, he must be working on her because she is scared that this marriage is not going to work out, right? He's going to be upset with me and so on. And I'm going to become puzzle for the kahuna. I'm going to become a halala. I'm going to become puzzle for truma forever and so on. But he apparently has been working on her. Ah, come on, honey babes, and so on, right? But in the other case where she's got nothing to lose, that's the case of the shnia. So over there, she doesn't really lose anything. So then she must be after him, as usual, which is usually the case, right? She must be after. There was a TV program once, I forgot what it was called, but ages ago, where they used to bring couples together and interview them separately, right, on screen. So, and they would, what was it called?
The dating game.
The dating game. So what did they used to do? So they used to do, like, one of the questions was, so when did you realize you were going to be marrying so-and-so? The girl always would give a date, like months before, years before the guy had any idea that he was going to marry. She had it all worked out. What?
The newlyweds.
Whatever. Okay. Anyway, but that's what the Gemara's been. You know, afogba, the kulaba. So we don't need the TV program, so we can save a lot of time just reading Rashi. So everything is good. Okay. So anyway, this is the Davar Acher. Now, what happened now to Doc? Wait a minute here. Somebody's got to call Doc. He disappeared. He was looking very, very unhappy with the dating game. Okay. If we've got any locals, only Akiva seems to be showing up today. I mean, even Calvin is hiding. What can you do? Naftali's not feeling well. You better give Doc a call and tell him he shouldn't think it wasn't noticed that he snuck out. It's really nice. I think people chazik him. Okay. So now the question is, who gave this additional piece of svara? Dover Acher. So Man Katani, who said Dover Acher? So, some say it was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar who said it, and he wanted to explain himself. So, he was thinking, okay, look, I made a statement. The statement was that it depends whether there is a psul or not, but I didn't explain why that's true. So, that would mean, according to this approach, that would mean that we were wrong in our original take on Rabbi Elazar's Sfara. We thought the original take was, if the marriage is going to collapse on its own, so then let him pay for doing the Isser. But if the marriage looks like it'll survive. Let's make it collapse by being kinesir, her ketuvah, so she'll want out of a marriage like that. It'll be very discouraging to think that I'm going to be left with nothing, right? But now if we're taking this approach, so this approach is that that wasn't really the reason, and that actually what Rabbi Elazar was saying was, Ma tam kom, I need to explain my, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, I need to explain myself. Ma tam amruhu pasru v'ipsulak ansu oto ketuva. Why did they say that where there was a psul, that then he has to pay? Because he must have been the one who persuaded her to marry him. And ma tamu kashev ikshera kansu ota ketuva. That's because she was margilato. She was seducing him the whole time, trying to get him to marry her. Why not? I don't lose anything. And therefore, we will give her the knas. Now, that's one approach. Ikani Amri, the other approach, is that actually we were right. And that the svara that we had nothing to do with who is margil. The svara that we had originally was an excellent svara. Namely, if the marriage is going to break down anyway because there's so much resentment because of the psul, then let him pay for doing the isser. And if the marriage isn't going to break down, let's make it break down by making her feel like garbage and not getting a ksuv, right? That was good enough. So who said this extra svara of Dover Achis? According to this approach, Rebbe said the svara. Why? What was wrong with Rebbe's approach? Wasn't Rebbe's approach fine? There's a difference between Divrei Torah, don't need chizik, and Divrei Chachomim, do need chizik. Makes a lot of sense. Ah, but there's one case where it doesn't make sense. The chalutza. When we talked about a grusha v'chalutza, the Kohen Hedyot. A grusha v'chalutza. That's not good, because the case of the chalutza is also a drabonin. So how did that get thrown in over here together with the grusha? So, and the reason that he needed the Dover Acher was because he needed to explain how I included Chalutza, Chalutza Kakashele. Chalutza is a Drabbanan. And Afal Piken, we say that she gets a Ketuvah. Why don't we feel that we need to be Mechazik, the din of the Drabbanan? So there, Rebbe said, oh, so Hadar Omar, in order to explain why it is that he included Chalutza, Bishop includes Chalutza, is because Kivan the Pasula, the girsa that we have is Kivan the Pasula Mitruma de Rabbana, according to many of the Mefarshim. So Kivan the Pasula Mitruma de Rabbana, the question has to be that there's this additional issue, so that if somebody is going to be ruined because of it, and therefore, where Chalutza, the Rabbanan are going to be able to passel her for meaning Truma. So therefore, I throw in an additional reason, that it must be that it was him, who margilav v'zuhi margilato. Okay, now, according to the other time, okay, so how indeed did Rebbe understand Chalutza? That's not such a big problem, really. Because, look, you ask most people in the street, Grusha v'Chalutza l'Kohen, they think it's the same thing. So, I mean, once there's a din of Grusha and people have in their minds that Chalutza is similar to Grusha, we don't need to be Mechazik. That's the Pashtas. According to this approach, it wasn't good enough for Rebbe. So he wanted to explain why that's true. All right, very good. Note that the Zoom is picking up, that boost is missing. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ah, Akiva to the rescue. Okay. All right, so now the question that we have today, and this is going to bring us to a few different approaches. Again, I just want to remind you that we have very strongly popped down from our original concern over here, because we've moved on to the way that the different levels of psul, of the Yavama versus the Isha to a Baal, or the Yavama to the Yavam, the way that they would affect situations, because one of them might be a Kohen that would be kosher for the marriage, and one might be a Kohen that's possible for the marriage, which then led us into the question of, well, why is there a difference in terms of the financials? And remember that the financials, the same way that the issue of the Kohuna was similar to the original getter of Yibum, because we have the same exact idea, the Zera Einla, if she has any children from the original one, right? And it has a lot of Hakbalot, as we saw. So too are the financials fundamentally important, because remember in the Din of Yibum, the idea of his taking over the financial status of the previous of the brother was originally married to her. That's very much part of the whole story of Geula. Remember the story of Geula and Yibam was all in terms of finances at the beginning. And then all of a sudden Boaz comes up with the idea, well, if you're going to be handling the finances, you're going to have to handle the wife, which is sort of different from the way we usually think about it. And that's how the whole Megillah ends, right? So the same thing is true, Lagabi the Kahuna. Understanding the financial relationship in cases where there's an Isser Kahuna also is very important to us in terms of the description of the marriage per se, as the Gemara is going to come out now, right? Because we need to take into consideration, how did we get into a marriage like this and so on. So it's a perfect place to have the implications of the Mishnah. But nonetheless, remember, we've basically gotten down into a sugya that most people would see as totally tangential. Okay. So our first question is, why the difference in the financials? Now we ended up with the difference. Now we're popping down yet another level. And that other level is to try to understand what difference it would make, whether the explanation is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, or whether the explanation is Rabbi, about Divrei Torah, Tzichei Chizuk, and all of that, right? Or the Gemar Gilato. So assuming that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar actually decided that the question would be whether there's a psul, and the way that we understood that this Dover Acher is an explanation, Aliba to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, whereas Rebbe is focusing entirely on Divrei Torah Tzrichei Chizuk. So what would be the difference? Tell me what the difference is. Give me cases where halacha l'maaseh there's going to be a difference between Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Elazar, because it's very important in understanding the implications of the way that we look at this whole halacha. If it really doesn't make any difference, then why are we really worried about it? Omer of Chista, okay, I'll tell you a difference. Now, what the Gemara is about to do is it's going to look at a lot of differences, but each one of those differences will have a shita within the halachas that we're talking about, in which that difference is not true, because there won't be a difference. And we're going to keep going from one to another, and everyone who suggests a case of a difference, we're going to say, but what if you hold X, Y, Z, according to the various approaches, then what's the difference? So we'll have to find another difference. So be prepared for a lot of different differences. And those differences, each one of which will pop us further down into a particular issue about that sugya. So don't get confused. It's really quite simple, even though it looks complicated. It's not complicated. It's just that we're branching. There's a lot of branching. Okay. So Rav Chista said, let me give you a difference. How about a case where a Yisroel marries a mamzeret or a netina? If the issue is a diaraita, so then this would be a diaraita. And therefore, we would treat it same way we treat any diaraita, namely, that she gets a ksuva, because it doesn't need chizuk. Masha'enkein, if you go according to Reb Shimon Elazar's approach, so in the case of a mamzeret who marries a Yisrael, we assume that she wanted to work it out. Why would a mamzeret want to get married to Yisrael? Wouldn't she figure, well, that's really going to be messy on me because he's going to resent it that I married him. And well, over here, we've got another issue, and that is social status. And more important, social status for children. Now, she does not want to do what's right. What's right would be for her to marry a mamzer, right? Or if you hold that gerim arlo ikrikal, so then she could marry a ger. But the problem is that then her children are going to be attacked in school. Hey, mamzer, you know, which anyway they call you, but here they really mean it. So the question is, it's worth it for her to try to up her social status on one condition. It's worth it for her if there's some chance that the marriage will survive. Now, if her husband is constantly going to say, you mamzeret who made all my kids mamzerim, then that's not going to bode very well for a long-term marriage, obviously. It's one thing to call her another word, but to call her a mamzeret when she really is one, whew, that's a problem. So you can see that doesn't bode well, but she's got a way out. She says to herself, look, I can always say back to him, don't worry about the children, dearie, because the children could always marry into a situation of a shivcha, and then we could give a get shichra to the shivcha, and then the grandkids will be fine and everything will be okay. That's what's important, as long as the grandkids are okay, right? So therefore, under those circumstances, we blame her for being margila. So, margila, la. But this only works if it's really true that there is a way to make her children, her grandchildren, non-mamzerim. Okay, so then that makes sense. But what would you do, says the Gemara, what about according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says, yeah, you're going to go marry a shivcha, and that's going to make the mamzer tahar? I got news for you. He's going to be both an Evan and a mamzer. How do you like that? That's really a way up, you know? That's a way down. So then she's not going to try to get into a marriage like that that's going to last all of a week. Then she ain't going to persuade him. So then this wouldn't be a difference. Okay. Elam Rav Yosef, I'll tell you another difference where we don't have to worry about this problem. The other difference is this. A guy divorces his wife. She goes and gets married to somebody else, and then he remarries her after her second husband divorces her or whatever. So man diyamar diyaraisa, okay, it's an isa diyaraisa, mazir grushasa is an isa diyaraisa, so fine, let her have riksuva, because we don't need to be mechazik this isa. But if you go according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and the issue is because she's going to be doing the seducing over here, and that would be the difference, in this case, she is obviously over here, if he is taking her back, and there is no question of a psul that comes out over here, because anyway, she's a divorcee. If she's a divorcee, she's psula lakuna from the divorce right away. She's not to go marry anybody else. So she's a divorcee. And because of that, we don't see a psul over here. So she doesn't have anything to lose over here. There's no issue of mamzerut, and in this case, she doesn't even become psula lekuhuna because she's not considered to be a zayna in a case where she was originally married to the guy, as we learned before. It's only if it was initially either kares or it was initially pasul. So therefore, since she has nothing to lose, then she would be margila. Oh, darling, we had such good times together. Oh, yeah, right. That's why I divorced you. Oh, those kind of things we can easily put behind us. You know how it goes. So therefore, if she doesn't have anything to lose, she'll be margila. That's the nafkamina. But wait. It's an iser lav, isn't it? And what about according to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva holds yesh mamzer michayve lavin. Why would she want to persuade her husband to take her back if the children are going to be mamzerim and therefore she knows this ain't going to last? So we don't assume she's going to do that. Okay, that's the end of our first two approaches, right? So there's always going to be a problem. So the Mazer Grushasai, that's going to be a problem. And that's Rabbi Yosef's approach. Rav Chisda's approach, Mamzeres and Nesina, that's going to be a problem if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer. So we try a new approach. Elomer of Papa, I'll give you approach number three to a difference between a case in which the svar is he margilato, or whether the svar is the vetar tzrichim chizuk. Okay, and here would be the difference. My new approach, approach number three. The question would be like this. A kohen gadol who marries a bu'ula instead of a betula. Right? So now, the man diyom diyorais. Okay, so this is diyorais. According to Rebbe, the vetar ein tzrichim chizuk. And therefore, she gets her ksuva. But if, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the svara is that she is doing the seduction over here of this guy, this is a case where she is. Hagi margalale. Over here, she would be the one who would attempt to get him to marry her, because in this case, since it's an isra asay, even Rabbi Akiva would be moda that this does not create mamzerus, and the children therefore would also not be chalalim because it's not a lav. So therefore she won't become a chalala. And if she won't become a chalala, remember we learned that out from Yechalel, two chilulim, one for the woman and one for his children. So therefore in this case, she doesn't have anything to lose. She'll go after him. But wait, What about according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that a chiyuv asay also creates a halal. So now there's a psul. So if that's the case, then she's not going to try to persuade him because she's going to have children that are halalim and that will be a disaster. So she's not going to want to get into that. So now what's the nafkamina? Oy, oy, oy. Take four, gentlemen. Boom. And I don't think they do that anymore now that they, well, maybe they do even with videos. Or fine. Take four. So Elam Ravashi Marzer Suffix Sota Ikabina. I'll tell you what the case is. Case is over here, a woman, after her husband warned her not to be alone with so-and-so, she goes and is alone with so-and-so. Okay, now that's an issue to your right, huh? Because it says, Achrei Asher Hutam'a, when we say, he nitma, he lo nitma. So basically, you're supposed to only take her back in the event that she drinks from the mayim, right? So since it's an issue to your right, so therefore she gets a ksuna. Whereas, in this case, she is the one who's going to try to get him back, and therefore we will blame her, because she doesn't become psula in any way. She certainly does not become a chalala, because it's not an iser kahuna, and she doesn't become a zayna, because you only become a zayna in the event that there was an iser from the beginning, but she was married normally to this guy before, and therefore he cannot cause her to become a zayna. So therefore, according to the approach of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, the deal over here would be she should not get a ksuva. But wait, this doesn't work either. What if you hold over Matya ben Charash? He says, "Afilo alag ba'alal ashkota ba'ala baderech asa'azona." It's not true. Because even when her husband was on the way to Yerushalayim to get her to drink for the Mayim Ma'orim and he sleeps with her in the hotel, he still would make her a zona according to Matya ben Charash. So obviously he does not hold that the deal is that once she was married to a guy, he can't make her a zona. So Matya ben Charash argues on that whole limud. So then she would become a zona, and then she become pasul l'kluna. So then no good, because then she would not try to seduce him, because that way she would become a zona. So then this is not a good difference. So let's take another take. Okie dokie, Yela Omar Marbar Ravashi. I'll tell you, we've got a sixth explanation. And that would be a sotavadai ikibinayo. There is a big difference over there. The difference would be she became a sota, meaning she literally had a relationship with somebody while she was married. And that iser is vehi lo nitvasa mashba, she's asura, right? And therefore, we should have, the question is, according to Rebbe, since it's Issa D'Oraisa, she gets a ksuva. Because I don't need chizuk, because according to Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, she would not become asura, even though it's usur from the, remember, if you hold that lo yuchal ba'ala harishon is, remember, we had a machlokas, whether that refers to sait that we had earlier, assuming that it does refer to a sait and it's iser lav, but since there's kedushin, even Rabbi Akiva is made that it does not create any kind of mamzerut, so because of that, she was the one who did the seducing over here for her husband, and therefore she would lose her ketuvah according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, assuming that he was the one who said the dover acher, but she would not lose her ketuvah according to Rebbe, because divrei Torah ain't zrichin chizuk. So at last, number six, we now figure out some way that there would be a difference no matter what you hold. Okay, there we go. And now we are ready for Sir Richard. Let's see what he can do without anyone breathing down his neck. Excellent. Bat Yisrael mu'ureset la'kohen. So let's get back to the dinim of achilas truma in terms of some of the issues of the financials. We're going to introduce a really weird halacha over here that we never heard of before. A Bat Yisrael who is mu'ureseto kohen, or she got pregnant from a kohen, or she was in a position of being a shomeret yavam la kohen. She was originally married to a kohen and her husband died, and she's waiting now for yibum. In all of those cases, and or a bat kohen who was married to Yisrael, in the, whatever the cases we were here, in other words, a mirror image. she got pregnant from Yisrael. She was arusa to Yisrael. She's waiting for Yibum for a Yisrael. She can't eat truma. And in either event, there's no achilas truma. And now there is the most weird piece of a Mishnah, which says that if a bat Yisrael is mu'reset to a Levi, or pregnant from a Levi, or is a Shomer's Yavam to a Levi, I notice that some of the Levium have withdrawn over here all of a sudden, ashamed to show their faces, and vice versa, a bat Levi, who is impregnated by Yisrael or engaged to Yisrael, Shomer's Yavam to Yisrael, she can't eat Meiser. Oh my heavens, who ever heard of such a thing, Meiser? I thought anybody could eat Meiser. Now we're saying you have to be a Levi to eat Meiser? When did that happen?